Proverbs chapter 14, verses 16 through 21. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Again, we have comparison contrasts in this passage today, in these verses. And there's things here that we've looked at before, we've came across before in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be reminded of some things today. And then there's some things here that we haven't considered much at all. But let's, as we read these verses and study it together, pray that God helps us with these things. In verse 16, it says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil." I think this is kind of twofold here. One is that we fear the consequences of the evil that follows. You see, every action has a consequence. Mm-hmm. And a wise man knows that, you know, can see ahead and say, you know, it's not a good idea to build your nest in the barrel of the shotgun. No. You know why? Because the first shot's going to get you.
Yeah.
Right? So let's not do that. But it's also talking about the fear of God. A wise man feareth God. There's the fear of the Lord. It's over and over through the book of Proverbs. We understand that. And this fear of God, we do not want to disappoint Him, do we?
No.
We don't want to displease the Lord. And so it helps us to make the right decisions and do the right thing. I'll give you a couple of verses here. In Proverbs 22 and verse 3, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Pretty clear, isn't it? Yes, a prudent man can look on ahead. There is, the word prudent means wisdom, and primarily in a specific situation is when you come across the word prudent in the Scripture. In verse 16, a wise man, and it is wisdom. Prudence and wisdom are synonyms in a respect, but it's wisdom, generally speaking, in a specific circumstance or situation in the Scripture. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. It says in verse 16, but the fool rageth and is confident. It means he just goes headlong and don't pay any attention, doesn't care, doesn't plan. He's living for the moment. That's why foolish people say things that they shouldn't say and then have to apologize, or if they don't apologize, they create a conflict and hurt feelings, and they're too proud to say I'm sorry. They're too proud to get it, even when they're wrong. That's the evidence of a foolish person. Even when they're wrong, they're too proud to apologize. Mm-hmm. That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly is. In Proverbs 28, verse 14, listen to this. It says, "Happy is the man that feareth alway." Happy is the man that feareth alway. But it says, "But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Harden our hearts against the truth. If we harden our hearts against the Lord, then we're going to get into trouble. We're going to hurt ourselves. We're going to do that which is harmful to us and to someone else. Fall into mischief. You know, some people, have you ever noticed that some folks, it seems like they might have too much time on their hands because they seem to find things to get into? You know, there's, in society, you read the paper and there's people that stay up all night and they go drinking and partying and car wrecking and fighting and get in all kinds of trouble. What are they doing during the day? Do they not work? Do they not have a job? I wonder about some of these protesters that go to these things. It seems like, and they camp out. Do they not have a job? Do they not have responsibilities? Are they professional protesters? Are they being paid to do that? In some cases, that's it. They are professional protesters. So be careful what you hear on the news media, because it's not always as they portray it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people have too much time on their hands, and I'm not saying that they take too much time to think. It's not wrong to think about things, to consider things. But if your basis is not the truth of the Word of God, your decisions and your outlook is going to be confused and skewed and of this world, and you're not going to come up with the right conclusion. Let me ask you a question today. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?
Sure.
Well, if it is, and I'm not saying conditional, or since it is, since it's the Word of God, shouldn't it affect our decisions and our outlook and our perspective on things? Well, honestly, those who get themselves in trouble, their families in trouble, a disgrace to their community, and I'm going to be a little specific today, these that are kneeling during the national anthem at a pro football game, that's a disgrace. I don't care what they're trying to protest, that's not the place to do it. I don't know what they think they're gaining by doing that, but they're gaining a lot of disrespect from good people of this country. Even those that are unsaved have enough sense to respect our nation and respect the flag, respect those who died for our freedom. That's pretty serious. That's a serious thing when you do that. And you know what? There's some things that there's bridges that can be burned in that kind of behavior. And I mean in relationships, in respect. There's some people that, you know, they, people can do some things that you'll never really have that respect for them anymore.
Yeah.
It'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14, listen, it says, "Happy is he that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief."
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So clear and so true. All right, let's look at verse 17, if you would. The fool, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Soon angry, talking about a quick temper, a short fuse, that kind of thing. Soon angry dealeth foolishly. And, some are more susceptible to that than others, but it says basically, regardless of whether that's part of your personality or your temperament, it's a foolish thing to do.
Yeah.
Whether you do it once in 10 years or you do it many times in 10 years, it's still foolish regardless. You know, there's some folks that just say, well, that's the way I am. You know, I've just got a short fuse, and if I have the feeling, I'm going to say what I think. Well, that's not good, because what you think in those kind of situations is generally something that has to be apologized for.
Yeah.
Now, let me make sure that we understand this, because we've talked about this before. There is a righteous indignation about things of sinful, harmful things of this world that should bother us and should upset us. As I just mentioned, those that are kneeling when they should be standing for the national anthem, and that bothers me. That, but you know what? That'll bother me 30 years from now if I live that long too. You know, and I don't have to apologize for being bothered by that. But if I lose my temper and say something to my wife or to somebody, I just say something hurtful and and in 5 seconds, 5 minutes, I feel guilty and regretful, and I have to apologize for it, that's the wrong kind of anger.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Well, in verse 17, it says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Wow. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, it says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Now, again, some folks have more, has to deal with their personality is more given to that than others. Some it takes more restraint. Some folks are very passive and very soft-spoken and never seem to, nothing never seems to bother them, so to speak. I'm sure that it does, but they don't show it. Do you know folks like that? I know folks, too, that'll fight at the drop of a hat and drop the hat so they can fight. You know, contentious people. They don't argue about something. They want to exalt themselves. But the Bible tells us he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Well, that's a compliment, isn't it? Great understanding, those that are slow to wrath. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. In Proverbs 15, verse 18, it says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Remember the Lord Jesus talked about peacemakers? Being a peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, what's the opposite of being a peacemaker?
Troublemaker.
A troublemaker. You're right. Would you rather be a peacemaker or a troublemaker?
Be a peacemaker.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen situations. I had a situation in my church one time a few years ago where a lady was trying to stir up some trouble in our church. And she spoke to our pianist and was telling her what she was thinking about the pastor, who was me, and misunderstandings. And, of course, she was wrong. In this situation, she was wrong. I know, and the piano player looked her in her God-given eyeballs and said, "Are you trying to cause trouble?" That woman didn't say another word. She just turned and walked off. I had it on several folks told me about that they witnessed it. Said it was amazing. It was amazing. Said, "Are you trying to cause trouble?" That's what she was doing. That's exactly what she was doing. Well, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Don't be a troublemaker. Don't be one that causes strife and contention. By pride cometh contention, the scripture says. Remember that? By pride cometh contention. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 18... it says, now this is, goes with the last part of verse 17. Let me read the last part of verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Wow. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? What's these wicked devices? It's something, a device is something that has been planned and worked on and developed. This is something that is not by accident. This wicked device, this wicked action, this wicked behavior, something that has been planned, is what it's talking about here. And it says in Proverbs 6 and verse 18, you're familiar with this verse, one of the six things that the Lord hates. It says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That deviseth wicked imaginations. And so, when someone let something in their heart become come to the point where they're going to act upon it. Hatred. Does murder just happen? I'm talking about murder. I'm not talking about accidents. I'm not talking about defending yourself. I'm talking about murder. First degree murder is what? Premeditated. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what makes it first degree murder. It has to be premeditated. Where does that come from? Why do people do, you know, people are still doing that regardless of the chances of getting caught? Wow. You know, I've heard, I talked with a man that had a ministry at the women's prison down in, is it Marion, Ohio?
Marysville.
And, he said that it's amazing to talk with some of these women who've killed their husbands. Mm-hmm. He said, it's amazing. They don't deny it. They say, yeah, I did it, and I'll do it again. It was first-degree murder, and they were paying the price. But the situation was, apparently from those, was from domestic violence and all that, and being beaten. And regardless of how we feel about how they should have handled it, they handled it all right, didn't they?
Yeah.
But it wasn't the right way to handle it, regardless. That's like I've said, you know, we've been married for many years now, my wife and I, and we've I've never considered divorce. Never have. Murder, yes, but never divorce. No, I haven't considered murder either. Maybe she has. I better not speak for her. This man of wicked devices is hated. This word hated here goes, it has to do with a fear or a not being able to trust them because they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. People that have wicked imaginations are dangerous because they don't care who they hurt. They want to do what they want to do or what they think is going to get the revenge that they want or solve the problem. And once they get it in their head, then they're a dangerous person. Well, let me read you the rest of Proverbs 6, verse 18. It says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and then it says, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Yeah. Those go together, don't they? The thought and then the commitment of it. Man of wicked devices is hated. And this is not really, it says, and a man. It's not really one of the, it's kind of a comparison here. But it looks like from the language in verse 17 that a man of wicked devices is worse than that one that is soon angry. Because it's talking about one that actually carries out what he planned to do. So, we see the comparison here. Now in verse 18, it says, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Again, the simple here is talking about that one which has not learned or is ignorant. Verse 18, and that, of course, creates a problem. That creates that which is can be full of calamity or trouble. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. What is the result of foolish behavior? What is the result of sinful behavior? When we sow that which is good, we reap that which is good. When we sow that which is evil or foolish, then we reap that which is evil or foolish. And again, that's what it's saying here, the simple inherit folly. That's where it's going to come. If we do that which is without the wisdom of God, if we do that which is without the confidence or the counsel of godly people, then we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to inherit folly. Well, Proverbs 12, verse 2 says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices, look at that. The word devices will he condemn. Again, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The thought here is that the crowning is done by someone else. You see, I can't boast in if I have any wisdom, I can't boast in it. Because it's not of me. It's of the Lord, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's the one who gives us wisdom and understanding. We don't have any natural wisdom. Now, there is, my dad talked about common sense. Mm-hmm. He said common sense is not common anymore. And we're not talking about just good common sense. We're talking about divine common sense, that which comes from the Lord. You see, God can give us direction and leadership and give us the answers that that's obtainable nowhere else. You can't find it in a book. You can look at it. Look, you can Google it all you want to. You can go to the library. You can ask people. But the answers sometimes that we need only come from the Lord.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? And He has a way of bringing us to that point. He has a way of bringing us to the point where we have to ask Him. We have to, because the answer is nowhere else. It may be to the peace, to the question, to the turmoil, to the whatever it is we're facing. It comes from the Lord. The prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now, what is this knowledge? Remember when we first started the study of Proverbs, part of the knowledge that this word knowledge is talking about is being able to actually, in our mind and in our heart, understand why God is doing what He's doing in our life. We don't always see that now. I mean, we have to trust Him now, but they, as you say, hindsight's 20/20. How many of us can look back and see how God helped us and directed us and opened doors and gave direction, gave us the answer that we needed? Time after time after time. What is that? That's knowledge, isn't it? We as God's people have the blessing of having the knowledge of God, of what He's actually doing in our life. Although remember, was it Peter and the Lord? The Lord was washing the disciples' feet, and Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet." And the Lord says, "What I do now, you know not, but you'll know hereafter. Mm-hmm. You'll know later." And do we have that peace? Do we have that understanding? Do we have just that understanding in itself is great and wonderful. Because we can say, "Well, I really don't know what He's doing now, but I know that I can trust Him. I really don't understand what's happening right now, but I know someday I will." Mm-hmm. And what's great about it is we say, "Someday I will." He doesn't always wait, and in most cases, He doesn't wait till we get to heaven to show us why He did what He did.
Yeah.
Most of the time, He shows us sooner than we even think that He's going to show us why He did what He did. Because actually, if the Lord is taking us through a trial or testing, wouldn't it be best for Him to show us why He was testing us? That way we learn from that. So when I was in college, there were some of our professors that they wanted to... we had tests, exams, and they didn't want to make a new exam every time they tested, gave us a test. They didn't want to have to come up with a new test, a new exam for us to take. And because if they ever gave that out to us, our test that we to look at and to keep, then guess what we could do with that? We could pass it on to the next class coming down the road. Here's what it is. We didn't get to keep it because they wanted to use it again. And some of them wouldn't even pass the thing out because they thought we would copy it. This is a Bible college, folks. How about a little trust here? And if they do it, kick them out if they copy it. That's cheating. But if you don't know what you missed on the test, sometimes all they do is tell you what your grade was. But if you don't know the question that you missed, how are you going to learn from that? How are you going to learn? The things that you missed on the test that you saw, oh, and then you got the answer, that's the things that you'll never forget.
Yeah.
That's how you learn. That's the things on the test that you'll never forget. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Just so much here in that the prudent are crowned with knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 35, it says, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." In Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 7 through 9, listen to this. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wow. Sounds like there's a lot of good things resulting from the reception of wisdom that comes from God. Now, let's look at verse 19. It says, "The evil bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous." Now, I believe he's speaking in principle here, but we have some examples. One of the examples that we have in Scripture is Joseph, how God blessed him, even though in the eyes of his enemy, especially initially, he was their enemy, or he was a slave, he was a servant, he was one that did not have any position or power. In Genesis 42 and verse 6, it says, "And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth." They never thought that would happen.
No.
Joseph probably never. Well, he had the dream, didn't he?
Yeah.
He knew it was going to happen, but he knew if it happened, it wouldn't be by his doing. God would be the one that had to do it. So God was the one who got the glory for that. So verse 19, "The evil bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous." Remember, the gates is that place where all the judgments were made. That was the court system of in Bible days where decisions were made. And it was a public thing as well. And so he's saying that there's going to be a time when righteousness will prevail. And God will honor those who live rightly. He'll lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, here, verse 20 and 21 go together. And it's, words or verses that are simple and clear. They don't need a lot of explanation. It says in verse 20, "The poor is hated even of his own neighbor." Mm-hmm. Now, think about that for a moment. Why is that the case? Why are the poor, and maybe hated here in our understanding, maybe strong language. If you have poor neighbors, so to speak, you may not necessarily hate them, but compared with how much you would love them if they were rich, you see, that may be the difference there. And that's what he's talking about here, "But the rich hath many friends."
Yeah.
A truer statement has not ever been made. The rich hath many friends.
Oh, yeah.
But do they really know who their friends are?
No.
How do they know? Are they somebody who just loves me because I'm rich? Or is it somebody who's a genuine friend? I heard someone say a few years ago, said, "You know, you can count the friends that you have on the fingers of one hand."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Four fingers
and a thumb. That's a trick question, isn't it? That's like, can you stick out your tongue and touch your nose? Can you do that? Sure you can. Everybody can do that. The rich hath many friends. That has to be kept in perspective. And I was talking to my wife about this, I think that just this past week. I know a couple of people, a couple of men, who are very wealthy. And they're not, one of them is a closer friend than the other. But one of them I warned many years ago that people would buddy up to him, trying to get in his pocket, in his billfold. I warned him.
Yeah.
And then I saw it happening. And the strange thing about it was that he either didn't realize that was what was going on, or he liked it. Okay? Some people want friends so badly that they don't even care if all they're after is their money. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That's sad. They don't even care. They like the attention. We all like attention, I suppose, to a degree, but we need to beware of that. Look at verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. Wow. So verse 20 says the poor is hated even of his neighbor. And even if he says if that's the case in our life, it's a sin. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, regardless of what condition financially he's in. But he that hath mercy on the poor, we believe that's what he's looking at here again, carrying on with that thought. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Now I know, we live in different days, a different time, a different culture than when this verse was written. There are some places in the world where poor folks are so prevalent. I'm talking about legitimately poor. There's nothing they can do to improve their situation. Nothing. There's no jobs to be found. They're doing the best they can with what they have. There's places in the world that's like that. And as far comparing our country with a third world country, we're all rich.
Yeah.
We're all rich mm-hmm. compared to them.
Yeah.
So how do we? The answer here, though, look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 7 says, "All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him." That's telling us there that not to have that favoritism towards those that are rich, but to remember to look at all folks the same. As much as possible, Proverbs chapter 19, verses 4 and 6 says, "Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts." You remember what the scripture says about the Lord Jesus? It says the common people heard him gladly. The common people. That's not the rich. That included probably mostly poor folks. Why? Because they saw themselves, they were legitimately poor, they saw themselves as in need of him. And they were not trusting in their riches to buy their way into heaven, which is what some people do.
Yeah.
Sad to say. Some folks trust in their riches more than they trust the Lord. And it's given example after example after example in the Scriptures. So having the right attitude, the right perspective of these things, treating folks kindly. And I've mentioned before, you know, where I work, there are many wealthy folks where I work at Brethren Care. Residents I'm talking about. And there are many folks that don't have anything. Everything's gone. They're being taken care of by their family. As far as their personal wealth, they have none. But they've got some family that's taking care of them, or there's the other government things that help with all that. But they sit at the same table. They talk. It doesn't matter anymore. I was talking to a lady the other day, and it amazed me the grasp. She said, "I don't know why I worry about the stuff that I used to have, because it's just stuff.
Yeah, just stuff.
Don't have it anymore, and I don't know even why I even think about it."
That's it, right? Yeah.
It's just stuff.
Just stuff.
Yeah. Relationships and with the Lord and with others, that which is eternal. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's pray.